Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, precious saints, precious in the Lord, precious in His sight, precious you are, God's people. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We're doing this series entitled Wilderness Rescue. It's based out of Revelation chapter 18, Revelation 18. Let's open there. Let's open to Revelation 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Revelation 18. This is the chapter where the judgment of Babylon actually takes place. Chapter 17, it is announced. Babylon's judgment is announced in chapter 17, but it actually takes place in chapter 18. And God judges her. And if you look at verse 5, let's just isolate verse 5 of chapter 18 for a moment. And it says, for her sins, plural. One day I'm going to do a series on all the sins. I'm going to catalog all the sins of the Roman Catholic Church. You will be amazed. I'll probably spend a year on Revelation 18:5. I have so much information, so much historical data, so much facts on the sins. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquities. That's an interesting phrase, he remembers. In fact, go with me to Genesis. Quickly go to Genesis. That word remember. Go with me to Genesis chapter 8, I believe. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah. The word remember doesn't speak of recall as though God forgot somebody and then, oh, he remembered. God doesn't forget anything. Actually, the word remembered means an appointment. And God had an appointment with Noah. And not just Noah, but with every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. I'll give you another example. Turn with me to Genesis, I believe it's 30. Genesis 30. And, of course, Rachel is complaining that she is barren and has no children, and she has a big argument with her husband, Jacob. And in Genesis 30, starting at verse 1, it says, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob has had enough. I mean, she's been nagging him for kids. And it says in verse 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, his beloved Rachel. They had words. They had a spat. And he said, am I in God's place? It is God who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb. So in essence, Jacob is saying to her, go to God, pray about it, cry out to God. And no doubt she did, because in the same chapter, in verse 22, it says, and God remembered Rachel. In other words, he set up an appointment. God set up an appointment with Rachel, and he hearkened unto her. He heard her prayer, and he answered her prayer because he opened a womb, and she was able to conceive. So that word remember is a key word. Whenever God remembers somebody, they have an appointment with him. It's not a good translation, but that's the import of the word in Hebrew, and that's the import of the word in Greek. So it says here in Revelation 18:5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered. Oh, she's got a, you see, God is judge and executioner, and he's already judged her. She's doomed. But now her execution is about to take place. And no one is gonna plead with the governor. No one is gonna plead with the judge of all the earth to spare her life. No, she's going to the gallows. This is the day in which she will be judged. And in verse 8 says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Remember Pharaoh, when God unleashed his plagues on Pharaoh? Well, God did them intermittently. God, unleashed one plague, and then Pharaoh repented temporarily, and God removed the plague, and then it was a few weeks before God unleashed the second plague, so forth and so on, until the tenth plague. Well, no. When God unleashes his wrath on Babylon, all of her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire. Underline that. She shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Heavenly Father, we praise your name and we give you thanks, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lord, we shake when we read these scriptures. We're fearful. We tremble to think that someone has angered you, an institution, a group of people has angered you so much that you are about to unleash your mighty wrath upon them. God, have mercy. Save, Lord. Save. We know that we cannot intercede for Babylon. She's judged. She has a day in which God will judge her publicly in front of the eyes of the entire world. She's doomed. She is doomed. And no amount of prayer and intercession and begging and crying out to God is going to reverse that. But we pray for your people who are inside of Babylon, who have no business being there, who have no business in being in fellowship with her, keeping company with her, joining and cooperating with her in many ventures. Oh, God, pull your people out. Perform a wilderness rescue, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen, amen. Revelation 18:4 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Be ye not partakers of her sin, that you receive not her plague." So there are two angels, two. The first voice is heard in chapter 18, verse 1. "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lit up with his glory, and he cried mightily." Now, if you're taking notes, and if you're looking at your outline on page number 2, you have there a picture of Lot being escorted, Lot and his daughters and his wife being escorted by two angels. Two. One represents law, the other grace. Well, Pastor, how's that possible? Well, here it is. Look at Revelation 18. "After these things, I came and I saw another angel," the first angel. Verse 2, "That first angel cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And she shall" what? "Be judged." That's it. Law. But then the second angel pronounces grace. Grace to who? "I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people." Two angels. One Old Testament, one New Testament. One law, the other grace. One preaching that you have violated the commandments of God. The other preaching, but there's only salvation through grace in Jesus Christ. Two angels. So if you're taking notes, please jot that down. Well, there were two angels in Genesis 19, and let's go to Genesis 19. We're going to read the whole chapter. We have audio here, and we're going to play it. Now, this is what I want you to consider, and this is why I inserted this story here when we're talking about wilderness rescue. Genesis 19 and Revelation 18 are basically a mirror picture of the same incident. Why? Well, Genesis is the beginning of the Bible. Revelation is the end of the Bible. So from cover to cover, God is judging the wicked, but he's saving the righteous. That's the first thing. I want you to see the consistency of God. From the beginning of human history, God has been saving the righteous and judging the wicked. You find that truth early on in Genesis, and you find that truth late in history in Revelation. God is extremely consistent. The second thing, and we'll jot down the second thing once we play the partial audio. So let's go to Genesis 19 and be ready to write down your second characteristic here. Genesis 19, we're going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible.
"Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom."
Now again, there you have the two angels, just like the two angels in Revelation 18. pretty consistent. The two angels in Revelation 18, particularly the second one, one announces the judgment, the second one is announcing to come out. Same thing here, as you will see.
When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground.
Hear now, my lords. Please, turn into your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. No, but we will spend the night in the open square.
But he insisted strongly. So they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house, and they called to Lot.
Where are the men who came to you tonight?
Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally.
So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said,
Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof.
Stand back! This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them.
So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door.
Now, there you have where the angels, after Lot is attacked by the Sodomites, they and Lot are attacked by the Sodomites. They're trying to break the door down, and the angels pull Lot in. And what happens? Well, they shut the door. When the door is shut, speaks of what? Judgment. Judgment follows after the door is shut. And you find that in the account of Noah. When Noah enters into the ark, it's not Noah who shuts the door. It's God who shuts the door. And then when God shuts the door, what happens? The flood comes. Let me show you. Go with me to Genesis chapter 7, because these are recurring motifs or recurring principles in Scripture. And if you know the Bible stories, and if you remember all of the characteristics, the key features of each Bible story, you can plainly see the motif, or you can see the pattern being played out again and again and again. So here in Genesis chapter 7, it says in verse 15, and they went in unto Noah in the ark, two by two, all flesh, wherein there is the breath of life. Verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Well, that's what the angels did in Lot's house. Lot's house is like a little ark. Now, when Lot built his house, he didn't build it to be an ark, but that's what it becomes. The angels who are there on God's behalf, when they pull Lot in, they shut the door. So notice, here God commands Noah and the animals to come in, two by two, male and female. And then what does God do? The Lord shut him in. Wasn't Noah who locked the door. It was God. Now look at verse 17 of Genesis 7. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and it bore up the ark and lifted it up above all the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increasingly great upon the earth, and the ark went on the face of the earth. And, of course, everything that was in the water, according to verse 21, all flesh died. Everybody, they just perished. So now in the Genesis story, this is, again, the Genesis story, but it's Lot now. The angels shut the door. So let's see what happens when they shut the door.
And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door.
Well, the first punitive action is that the men were struck with blindness. Blindness. They can't find the door. The men who are ready to break down the door now are going about. They're blinded. They lost their sight by a supernatural act of the angels. And now they can't see. They don't know where they're going. If they wanted to escape, they can't escape. In what direction do they go? They're blind. This is the beginning of the wrath of God.
Then the man said to Lot,
have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it.
So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters.
Get up! Get out of this place! For the Lord will destroy this city!
But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry.
Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city.
And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said,
escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed.
Please, no, my lords. Indeed now, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please, let me escape there.
Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there.
Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground.
Now let's pause there, because you need to write some things down, some things I want to suggest. If you notice, the righteous are safe. What do we mean by the righteous? Well, the primitive church, the church at this time, was just made up of Abraham's group and Lot's group. Two big families. Abraham is always praying. And he wants nothing to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. He won't even go there. He won't even visit. He won't even go there to do business. Lot, on the other hand, starts towards Sodom and then winds up living there. He's even a politician there. If you recall, the men of Sodom said, "Look at this one. He sojourned here. He's a carpetbagger, and he thinks he's a judge. You cannot sit at the gate of the city unless you are a politician." So Sodom and Gomorrah represents a political, economic, and religious system. The cities of the plain together were one big coalition of people who had the same politics, the same economics, and the same religion. The religion of self, the religion of the flesh. That was there. That's the religion of today, by the way. That's the religion of whom Paul says, "In the latter days, perilous times will come because men shall be lovers of self." And then he goes on to enumerate all the things that characterize the religion of self, or what we call me-ology. It's the theology of me. So Abraham doesn't have to run anywhere. The angels don't have to go and get Abraham and Sarah and their whole, clang. No. Abraham is staying put. Abraham is running nowhere. Abraham is packing nothing. Abraham doesn't have to hurry anywhere. Why? Because he's not mixed with this particular version of Mystery Babylon. He's not in cahoots. The one who has to run, the one that has to flee, the one that has to come out is Lot. That's Revelation 18. "Come out of her, my people." Some people are on the outside looking in, like Abraham, and some people are on the inside trying to get out. That's Lot. So the righteous are always safe. The people who don't get mixed up in ecumenism are safe. The people who don't buy the mumbo-jumbo that it's good to work with the Roman Catholic Church, they're safe. The people who don't swallow that hook, line, and sinker, they're safe. But the ones who are locked arm in arm with the Church of Rome, they're in peril. These are the wayward saints. The righteous, not a problem. The wayward saints, they're in trouble. The righteous are always saved, but not all the wayward are safe. If you notice, who stayed behind? Lot's son-in-laws. Who died? Some of Lot's daughters. Only two came out. All of his daughters didn't come out. Two came out. Some of his daughters were lost. His son-in-laws were lost. His wife became lost. You don't want to, listen, you don't want to fool around with the great harlot. You always come out losing something. Didn't we learn that yesterday in the story of Samson? What did Samson lose? His eyes? Yes. He lost his eyes. He lost his sight. He lost his what? He lost his career. You know, when you read the book of Judges, there's another pattern. When you read every story of every judge, it tells you this judge judged Israel 40 years. The only judge who didn't make it to 40 years, the only judge who only made it to 20 years was Samson. His ministry was cut in half. Why? Because he fooled around with the harlot. The righteous are always safe. Those who play with fire get burned. Now, you may not have, listen, you may not be completely burned, but you're burned. Somewhere you're burned. Your hair is singed. Your eyebrows may be singed. You know, you may burn one arm and not the other. But you get burned. And if you come out unburned, you still smell like smoke. You still smell like fire and brimstone. So this is the warning of these stories. They're warning us. So let's continue reading. Because look, in verse 26 it says, "But Lot's wife looked back, and she became what? A pillar of salt." What does Jesus say? He's in warning his people. He says, remember Lot's wife. Don't ever forget her. Don't think that she's insignificant. She's not. She's a warning to all who want to fool around with the great harlot. Not everyone makes it out. When the angel says, come out of her, my people, not all his people come out. Not all make it. So, look at verse number 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And that phrase, stood before the Lord, means he stood praying. The Bible says, when the Bible speaks of Elijah, and they said to Elijah, who are you? He said, I am he who stands before the Lord. That's prayer. These are men of prayer. Men of prayer don't get involved with Rome. Men of prayer don't go chasing the great harlot, Mystery Babylon. They just don't. They want nothing to do with her. It's men who don't pray who go chasing the great harlot. Those are the men. Lot never prayed. If you read the Bible, you never have an instance where Lot prayed. Lot never. You find Abraham always praying. You find Abraham always building altars. Never Lot. Never Lot. In fact, Lot is rescued not because he prayed. Lot is rescued because Abraham interceded and prayed. So it says in verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning, as was his custom, to the place where he stood before the Lord, where he usually prayed. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Look at that. That's Mystery Babylon in Genesis. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. There you have that phrase again, remembered. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. My brothers and sisters, this is a serious matter. People who take the stories of the Bible lightly, people who shrug at these stories and don't heed their warning, and are just as fickle as Lot's wife. These are the people who don't make it. These are the people who fail to heed the voice of God and that of his angels. Don't play Three Babylon. You will get burned. Just ask Lot. And listen, not only did Lot have momentary consequences. What are the momentary? Well, at that moment when the Lord overthrew the cities, he lost daughters, son-in-laws, he lost his wife. But then what happened afterwards? What happened to the two daughters that survived? Oh, they were tainted by Mystery Babylon. They had tainted theology. And they committed acts of incest with their fathers, and they produced two apostate nations. Nothing good comes out of being in league with Mystery Babylon. We'll leave it there. God bless you and see you tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So